Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome aboard, everybody. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. Whatever radio station you're tuned in around the state, online, welcome to the program. We think we've got one you're really going to enjoy today. Southern Bancorp Studio, that's where we're broadcasting from in beautiful Oak Grove. An opening segment, as it is every day, is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great places to cater your next event and a great place to take your family for dinner, excuse me, any night of the week. All right, we're going to kick off the program today in a very special way. On December the 8th, Charles Huff was named the new head football coach at the University of Southern Mississippi after a very successful three-year stint at Marshall and a 19-year coaching history that took him to great universities like Vanderbilt, Penn State, Alabama, Mississippi State. We're glad that he's a Golden Eagle now, and we are delighted to have Coach Huff on the Eagle Hour. And first of all, Coach, thank you very much for coming on the program, and welcome to Hattiesburg on behalf of all of us.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me. I know when you get here in the middle of recruiting, it kind of is hit and miss of getting to talk to all the right people and all the right stations and all of those things. So I appreciate you guys' patience, and I'm glad I got a chance to get on with you and your listening audience for sure.
Well, we're delighted to have you. One thing worries me a little bit. You've already told me that back in 2018 when you arrived at Mississippi State, there was a snowstorm, and then shortly after you get here, there's a snowstorm. Is there something you haven't told us, Coach?
Well, I mean, you guys must be tricking the world. It must snow all the time in Mississippi, and no one really talks about it. But it was interesting, you know, someone was telling me, like, yeah, the last time it snowed here was 7 years ago. I was like, you're right. I remember that snowstorm 7 years ago. But obviously, it's been a great time hitting the ground running. The people here, not only in the state but in this community, have been phenomenal. The administration here has been phenomenal. We got work to do, don't get me wrong. You don't take over a 1-11 program and go on vacation. We got a lot of work to do, but we're definitely making strides in the right direction.
Coach, I think you would agree that the circumstances around your hire were unusual. You had brought your Marshall football team here just, I don't know, a month or two before you were named the head coach. When you were here that day with your squad, could you have possibly envisioned that a couple of months later you'd be named as the head coach at the school you were playing against that Saturday afternoon?
No, it's interesting. You know, some of the guys who have transferred here that week was probably one of the toughest weeks of practice that we've had. When we were at the other place, because it was interesting when you're on the other side of a team that's 1-8 or 1-9, as a coach you're waiting for the upset or the trap game or the letdown. So we prepared extremely hard for the Southern Miss game. As coaches, we were extremely concerned that our players would go into it thinking, "Hey, this is a 1-8 or 9 team, and they don't have anything to play for." And we talked about how dangerous the Southern Miss team was, because they had some players, they had some talent. I'll never forget. We had concerns about the quarterback's mobility. We had concerns about Mims' punt return mobility. We had concerns about The defensive tackle, number 51, and us being able to block him and some of the linebackers. So it was interesting when you get on the other side and you hear it from the other perspective of, you know, just where they were at that point in the season. But again, I didn't have any, you know, inclination at that point that, you know, this may be, I may be standing on that other sideline in a little bit. We were so immersed in just trying to make sure our guys were in the right place mentally for that game, which against a team that we thought was actually a lot more dangerous than their record.
Coach Huff, this is Kelly Sanner. I wanted to ask you, you know, on your move from Marshall to Southern Miss, talking to some Marshall supporters, they thought that one of the keys to you considering making the move was the fact that Southern Miss was ahead of the curve when it came to the transfer portal to the top collective, that maybe the support wasn't as advanced at Marshall as it is here. Can you tell us about some of the things that went into that decision-making process to come here when you could have perhaps gone other places?
Yeah, there really wasn't an option to stay at Marshall, so that made it a little more okay. Of the options that we do have, what do we have? Southern Miss is a little bit ahead of the curve comparatively to the Sun Belt with the NIL and the To the Top Collective. And I say that not saying, you know, like, oh, everybody can take a break, we're good. But the establishment of the To the Top Collective, the kind of the generation of funds and support that they already had going, there are a lot of teams in this conference at this level that are not there yet. There are teams that are, let's say, producing the same revenue value, but the way they're doing it and the consistency of what they're doing it at is not at the level of the To the Top Collective. That was one of the major pieces to, you know, my decision making on, you know, if Southern Miss was the place. We live in a world now where, whether you like it or not, NIL is real. If you're going to be competitive on the field, you have to be competitive in the NIL space. Now, are we competing against Georgia and Tennessee and Texas? No. But we are competing against the teams in this conference. I also think a big piece of it was me having the reference point of what we were able to do at the other place from an NIL perspective and what's realistic. You know, what do we actually need to be competitive? What do we actually need to retain and attract the proper talent to win this conference? So that was a bonus for me. I kind of already had a little bit of a inside knowledge on what we needed, and I felt like the infrastructure with the To the Top Collective was there. I felt like the persons in place to generate those funds and revenue were there, and I felt like, to be honest, the Southern Miss community and fan base believed in, you know, investing in NIL. There's some fan bases out there that just aren't there yet. There's some fan bases out there that believe, you know, hey, I'll give in the scholarships, I'll give in to facilities, but I just don't believe in paying players. And that's awesome. It's great. That's your choice. But the reality of it is that's where college football is now, and I truly believe, and I'm even more convinced now being here, that Southern Miss and their fans and the fan base understand that.
And speaking of transfers, when you were introduced, you and some of the players who had committed to come here were introduced at a Golden Eagle basketball game one day. I thought it was interesting in the verbiage when you introduced Braxton and you said something to the effect of, "This is your quarterback." I thought the verbiage was interesting because that's something that the Eagle Nation had not seen any consistency in the past 4 or 5 years. And look, whether you're playing peewee football or NFL football, that's where it starts and ends, yes, at the quarterback position?
Yeah, I'm not. And again, let me say this so it goes across all the records. I don't know anyone personally on the old staff or from the old regime. I know names. I've met, obviously, Coach Hall. But I don't know any of these guys, so I don't know what they've done, haven't done. So anything that I say is not a slight to them. Because I don't know them. But I'm not one of these coaches that plays a quarterback game. We're bringing Braylon here to be the starting quarterback. If that's not who he is, then we'll play another guy. And if there is someone who is out there that's better than outperforms him, they'll start. But I'm not playing the quarterback guess game. The quarterback is going to be the guy that goes out. and consistently performs at a high level. Now, obviously, we've seen Braylon perform. We've seen him, win a conference championship. Yeah, so we all anticipate him having that opportunity. If Braylon decides that he's going to go out and not, review the playbook and not lead the team and not make the right decisions and throw the ball to the other team and turn the ball over and all those things, no, he's not going to be the quarterback. It's really not that hard. Like you said, there is no good football at any level without a quarterback. Now, does that mean that Braylon, is just automatically the starter? He doesn't have to work his tail off? No, he knows that. Braylon wasn't the starter at Marshall, and he knows why, and we all know why that we're there. But what he did was he worked his way. He continued to work his way, and when he got his opportunity, he was the guy. So I don't play these quarterback hide games. If any point in time comes between now and the time we play or while we're playing that Braylon's not playing up to the level consistently that he needs to play up to, we'll play the next guy. To me, it's a little bit easier just to kind of, pick a guy that you think can be the guy. If he can't, you play another guy. Now, I get it. I'm in a little bit different scenario because obviously I have a relationship with Braylon. He's proven himself, at this level. But that doesn't mean that it's a, open and shut case, if that makes sense.
We're talking to head football coach Charles Huff on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We are delighted to have him on our program. We're going to continue our conversation after this very short 3-minute break. Stay with us. Super Talk Eagle Hour and head football coach Charles Huff continues.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this segment of the program is sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, a great place to take your family, as we mentioned earlier, for dinner. Also, I want to say hello to Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net on Hardy Street. Hey, don't forget the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. We know there'll be a big demand for this show on that. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you could tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're talking to new head football coach Charles Huff. We're delighted to have him on the show. Coach, I asked you something off the air. You kind of laughed at me. You said I was accurate. Kelly and I are old school guys, and we've studied you pretty closely, and we're excited because we get the impression you're an old school football coach that demands excellence, discipline, and attention from your football players.
Yeah, I know you guys don't get credit for being right often, but this is probably the one time in the entire show's history that you are right.
You're right about that.
But no, I am. I'm old school in approach. I was raised that way. I was brought up in coaching that way. The game is still the same, even though a lot has changed. It comes down to blocking and tackling, and the team that can do that the most consistently throughout the game will win, period. That's what it comes down to. And the only way you can do that, it has got to be who you are. It's not just a one play thing or a one day deal. Hey, on game day, we want to play with discipline. You got to live your life that way. And it's not just a football thing. It's a life thing. You can't, in whatever you decide to do, if you don't have discipline and you don't have a great work ethic, you'll get passed up. You'll get outworked at Bank of America if you don't have a great work ethic. If you don't show up on time every day at, Costco's, you're going to fire you. So why should it be any different in college football? Why should the people who are responsible for training these young men and helping these young men become better men allow anything different? We just happen to do it in a little bit more of a microscope, but, you know, there's people that go to Bank of America every day on time. You know, they don't get a pat on the back, so why should I pat my guys on the back for showing up to class on time? That's what you're supposed to do. And that's just the approach we take. I think the players respect it once they understand that that's who you are. And you and I have to be consistent. You know, I can't say, okay, well, we're winning. It doesn't matter if you go to class on time or, you know, hey, we won a big game, so everyone, you know, take tomorrow off. You know, that's not how it works.
No, that's right, Coach, and I couldn't agree with you more. Now, you hit the portal hard since you've come here. You've brought a lot of your guys here, but you've reached outside of Marshall University, obviously, and brought players in. Coach, when you analyzed what you needed to do in the portal, what areas of the Southern Miss football team that you inherited did you feel like needed to be addressed immediately with the portal and transfer players that you're bringing in?
Well, all of them. There was a lot of deficits. I think some of that was due to graduation. I think some of that was due to some guys, you know, getting in the portal before I got here. But there were a lot of areas that were depleted. In my opinion, let me say that, and I'm not saying I'm the czar of football. I'm just saying we looked at what was coming back and the production and the amount of plays that they had played or not played. There wasn't a lot of guys that have played a lot of football at a high level returning. And again, that's not a knock to the old staff. A lot of them graduated. Some of those guys were in the portal before we got here. So we needed to address every area. We're not done yet. We're still deficient in some areas that we need to address post-spring ball portal window. We addressed some areas. I thought we did a really good job skill-wise on the offensive and defensive side. I thought we did a really good job addressing, you know, the quarterback situation. So there are some areas where we've made some improvements, but we're not done yet. The other part of it is, you know, this is a new college football, so just because we brought them in December, you know, they have the right to leave in April. You know, so we've got to be able to retain those guys that we've brought in. That's where, you know, the Southern Miss community and To the Top collective and everyone in this community comes in. You know, if you see a football player, don't tell them how much you hated the 1-11 season. We need them to have a great time while they're here. We need them to feel this community's love. We also need to continue to improve our To the Top collective, you know, resource value, because some of these guys are going to have options to go to other places when, you know, come the second portal window. So it's not over. We still got work to do, but I think we're off to a good start.
Coach Huff, a lot of your assistant coaches came with you as well, but one who did not was your offensive coordinator, who had other opportunities and took them. And meantime, you hired Blake Anderson, who certainly has some Southern Miss ties. Blake Anderson, a former head coach, also at the D1 level. Talk to us about the skill set that you thought Blake brings to the table and how he'll fit in with you and your other assistants.
Yeah, well, one, he's got conference and university relevance and awareness, right? He's been in this conference before. He's won in this conference before. Obviously, he's been at this university before. He's won at this university before. So anytime you have that, that only brings a level of education and experience that will help me. You know, I mean, this is my first time being a part of this, you know, this family and this university. Him having, you know, conference awareness, again, he understands the level of talent that we're going to be facing and what we need to be able to do, not only from a personnel standpoint, but from a schematical standpoint to be successful. And then again, he has, you know, community relevance, right? People remember, you know, how good he was when he was here. You know, those were probably, I don't know for a fact, but probably some of the most, you know, successful times in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, holistically. So for him to be able to bring all those things to the table and for him to be able to, you know, be able to call plays with head coaching experience, it'll help me, it'll help the offense, it'll help managing the players. So I think it's going to be really good.
Still to a degree, your team is a shapeless ball of clay. In a perfect world, what type of offense would you like to run? What type of defense would you like to run, or characteristics of both sides of the ball?
Yeah, obviously, like you say, it's a shapeless bowl of clay, right? We can want to be whatever, but until we get these guys on the field and find out what they can do,
right.
Good coaches adapt. But obviously, if you're just, you know, if we're just talking for, you know, to get people excited for the for spring and, you know, make people listen to your show, we're going to be, you know, up-tempo offense, you know, that tries to score a lot of points. You know, we're going to throw it around. So, I mean, we're going to try to, you know, we're going to try to be up tempo. And when we left, Marshall, we were in the air raid world. We didn't throw it as much as we ended up running it because that's, again, that's adapting to your personnel. But, we're going to try to be in that same lane. Defensively, you know, we're going to try and be a 4-2-5 defense that, you know, can pressure, that can play coverage, all those things. Again, we just, at the other place, we had a, you know, a guy that had 17 sacks and just went to the Pro Bowl, to the Senior Bowl, and had a phenomenal outing. So we were able to kind of be a little bit more basic. We didn't have to get as exotic. I don't know if we have that guy on the roster right now, so that will change a little bit. But as a base, we'd be a 4-2. You know, 4-2-5 kind of defense, because that's what college is now. You know, I think when you start talking, you know, odd fronts and all those things, you got to be very specific from a type of player that you have. I think 4-2-5 allows us to recruit more flexible guys that can play multiple positions.
Again, when it looked like you were going to be headed to Southern Michigan, talking to some of our Marshall guys, they said you got the best thing that you've got going for you in getting Coach Huff. And we rarely, well, never talk about a coach's family, but they said his wife loves Mississippi. You got that going for you, and that may be the clincher.
Well, she's way better than me. My wife loved Huntington too, so I don't know if they thought she didn't, but she loves anywhere where my family and our kids are happy, and our kids were happy there. But I will say she has coached here in the state. She was once the head women's basketball coach at Mississippi Valley State a few years back. Her stepmother, family is from Kosciuszko, Mississippi.
Wow.
The Whippets.
So she has a little bit more tangible relevance to the state of Mississippi with her being here in Itabena, and then her family, or mom's side of her family, being from the Kosciuszko area. So yes, she's excited to be closer to some of her family, and she's excited to be back. As you guys know, the Itabena community is very close-knit, just like the, you know, Starkville community, just like the Hattiesburg community. I think it's a Mississippi thing where, you know, persons are and families are connected. You know, that's the beauty of it for me. There's a lot of recruits in the area who would rather stay in Mississippi to be close to family. We've got to do a good job of giving them a product that's worth staying for.
Coach, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. I know you got a lot going on, and we're grateful that you would think about spending some of your time with us. I'll tell you real quickly something you already know. You're in a community that has a very proud football history, and it's been a long time for a lot of us fans since we've been able to really enjoy that history and enjoy that level of competitiveness. And we're all very, very excited about you being here and leading us back to that level, sir. And we're very grateful that you're here to help us.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited. And trust me, I understand the magnitude of this opportunity. I also understand the history and tradition. I also understand the last few years have not been great for whatever reason, multiple reasons. So trust me, we are working tirelessly day in and day out to get this thing flipped as fast as humanly possible. This administration here has been great. This community has been great. I'm honored to sit in this chair. Let me say that. It's not, oh, you guys got the, you know, the coach that won the championship. This is an honor to me to be sitting in this chair and representing, you know, such a great history and tradition. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the top real soon.
Thank you very much, sir. Coach Charles Huff, everybody, new head football coach at Southern Miss, making his first extended interview right here, and we're grateful. We'll be back.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back to the show. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, right there in the shadow of the rocks. Slade and all the guys, just absolutely awesome. Great food, great camaraderie, always got the big game on TV. I want to thank head football coach Charles Huff. Also want to thank Jack Duggan and Jeremy McClain and everybody in the athletic department that helped us get this interview set up. He was delightful, Kelly. He's got a great sense of humor. He was joking off the air, and I don't know, man. I tell you, I think good things may be in store.
Well, let's hope so. I don't think when it comes to football is a different sport in many ways, you know, as far as the toughness and the in-your-face type of attitude sometimes you have to have. And if it doesn't sound like he takes his work home with him either.
Right.
And that's, you know, sometimes it'll just eat coaches up, this kind of stuff. But looks like he's got it in perspective. But well, kind of reassuring for some of us older guys to know that even though he's younger than us in years,
he's old school in his thinking,
in the way that he approaches football.
And I was left with this impression. If you're a young man playing football at Southern Miss now, you best be serious about what you're doing, because this coach is not going to put up with any nonsense.
And he'll be the first one to say it was your choice to play football.
Yeah.
You know, you want to be here. This is what it's going to take.
Very grateful that he came on. Enjoy getting to meet him both on and off the air. No question. All right, Kelly, basketball. Good day for the men. Maybe the best conference performance we've seen so far. What do you say?
Well, they've been consistent in spreading the ball around. You know, they defeated Georgia Southern 72-68 on Saturday, and in that effort, I mean, Denaje Harris once again, man. Denaje Harris, man, that guy, what a stud!
He's just a great ball player.
Yeah, 19 points. Nefta had 13. Gordon had 11. And really, the guy that kind of made things go was Curbelo. I mean, with the assists and some of the steals that he had, but four different guys in double digits for Southern Miss. That always helps. And their defense, which, you know, sometimes it had been a little bit suspect. They shut Georgia Southern down a little bit. As Georgia Southern tried to put up a bunch of threes and didn't work. But on the other hand, that's a game, those home games, even though the Eagles are really efficient at home, those are ones you got to have, because now they're getting ready to go on a four-game road trip. One of the games doesn't count in conference standings because it's at Ball State in the MAC Challenge. But Southern Miss now right, you know, to the middle, to the lower middle part of the conference with a 5-6 record, Georgia Southern 4-7. But now, again, Eagles go on the road for four.
Here's one thing about Harris I want to make a point to. He's scoring all these points, and let me tell you, he's getting doubled and triple teamed. Defensively, teams just collapse on him when he gets the ball. So the fact that he continues to score, I think, talks about what a talent he is. And I wouldn't forget Neftali Alvarez, he had 13 points.
Right.
He was a big part of the game Saturday. He may be the quickest guard I have ever seen. His body movements from side to side are so quick, he almost looks like a magician at times.
And it's rare that he and Curbelo are in that starting lineup at the same time.
Right.
But Saturday, that was certainly the case. When you look at these games coming up now, Bob, App State and Boone is a Wednesday night at 5:30 start our time. That's one. App State's pretty good. They're ahead of Southern Miss in the standings at 7-4 in the conference. And then they go, after the Ball State game up in Muncie, Indiana, then they've got to go to Arkansas State, which I got news for it. Nobody's winning at Arkansas State.
They're pretty good.
And then Louisiana Monroe. But if you can beat Monroe over in Monroe, that's one, you know, that you really need to win, because a lot of other teams have done that, although Monroe is starting to play better basketball.
However, let me say this about Arkansas State. Until the second half rolled around, and it appeared to me, again, that fatigue had set in on the team because they had been on the road.
And you're talking about the Wednesday night game?
Yes. Okay. Up until that point, the first half, they went toe-to-toe with Arkansas State and, in fact, led them going into the locker room. So I'm not going to say that if they're rested, it's a good night. I'm not going to say they can't go up there and be very competitive.
But if you look at Arkansas State's,
but I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And if you look at at Arkansas State's track record, Bob, that seems to be their modus operandi. All right, they're not, you know, really pulling ahead of anybody in the first half. They wear them down with that depth and experience in the second half.
I know.
And
I
that's
hate them.
Where it comes into play.
I hate them. I know. And, you know, in case you're just trying to find a place to go to school, we learned last week that if you have a beating heart, you can get a scholarship.
A pulse, yeah.
Apparently at Arkansas State. not such a good day for the women. You know, they had a 5-point lead late in the game, the women, against Troy. And then Troy scored 30, get this, 30 fourth quarter points. Pulled away 70 to 45. It got ugly there toward the end. Troy 14-9, 8-3 in the Sun Belt. Lady Eagles struggling, 8-14, 4-7. Malia Grayson, of course, great as always. Morgan Sieper, I thought, had a good game. A youngster out of Tampa, Florida. But in the end, it's a tough year for the Lady Eagles, Kelly. And they're so dependent on Malia. Malia gets doubled and triple teamed, and just too much juice by Troy in the fourth quarter of that ball game.
And when you look at the overall standings, let's on the men's side in particular, you know, in years past, people would argue, well, maybe the Sun Belt deserves a second team in the field of 66 or whatever. But this year, if they weren't guaranteed one team because of the tournament, there'd probably be nobody that deserves to go. I mean, this has just really been a weak year for the Sun Belt in basketball. When your second and third place teams are just slightly above 500, you know, and in conference play, it's really been a dog eat dog. Other than Arkansas State, you know, on the front end, and Monroe, you know, on the bottom and the bottom part of the standings, it's really been kind of up for grabs.
The 4-game road trips are terrible. That really needs to be addressed by the conference. I just think it's unfair. Play two on the road, come home, play two on the road. Looks like to me that'd be fairly easy scheduling.
And then you take them completely out of their environment and send them up to the booming metropolis of Muncie, Indiana, to play Ball State. When you're trying to figure out how to win conference games, and then you, in part of the MAC challenge, you're going to David Letterman's alma mater of Ball State up there.
Where'd they go earlier? Up in the Dakotas. My wife and I have been traveling the last couple of years a pretty good bit out west, and let me tell you,
they've been to Montana.
That's all beautiful out there. It really is breathtakingly beautiful. But you want to talk about feeling like a fish out of water? It's a different world, and I can only imagine how those basketball kids must have felt.
And this time of year?
It's cold, Kelly. Cold.
Although, you know, it was cold here a couple of weeks ago, but nothing like the cold up
like
there.
It's like that every day if you know. Really want another kid.
You know, you just a postscript, Bob, to the Charles Huff interview. We were talking about Blake Anderson coming on board. You almost feel like this was kind of a perfect storm. What would the odds be, first of all, that Blake Anderson would be available?
Correct,
right?
Correct.
And then second of all, usually once you're a head coach, you don't ever want to go back.
Right.
But the fact that Blake Anderson is an experienced head coach, you know, one at Arkansas State as a head coach, one here as an OC, and is taking the OC position here, man, I just think from a player standpoint and from a coaching standpoint, that's pretty solid, you know.
Yeah, no question about it. Speaking of Blake Anderson, we've been communicating back and forth some, and Coach Anderson is going to be coming on the show here in the next few days, we believe. He's a super nice guy, and he's been back and forth with us. And when we had the Arkansas State guy on the show the other day, he was texting here because they're buddies. And I found out they spent some time together before the basketball game. So he's a really friendly guy. We look forward to having him. Here's one little tidbit about Charles Huff before we hit the break. And in doing some research last night for the interview, in 2020, he was named by USA Today as the number one recruiter in America. Now, that bodes pretty well. And he recruited who's the running back at Pittsburgh that's so good for the Steelers?
You're talking about Saquon Barkley with
No, I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steeler running back as well.
Najee Harris.
He coached him, developed
at Alabama.
Him. Great recruiter, apparently. Track record of recruiting. And
But he did coach Saquon Barkley at Penn State as well.
Well, they're both pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say.
If you're starting for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're probably a pretty good ball player.
I'm just glad as many players and coaches that have seen their way to come to Hattiesburg, I'm just glad that none of the Marshall broadcasters have worked their way over here so that we still have a job here, Bob.
Here's one thing that surprised me a little bit, and comment on this, about 45 seconds left. You look at Coach Huff, he's a big, tough, gruff-looking guy. But when we started talking to him before the show, we talked to him a while before we went on the air. Friendly, jovial, great sense of humor. Surprised me a little bit. What about you?
Well, I will say this, and I'll put it in his words, but we don't have to be in the A gap on third down either. We don't. If we miss an assignment, it's okay.
If I can't depend on you to be in class, how can I depend on you to be on the in the A gap on third down? That's what he said.
That's right. Yes, I don't think I'd want to cross him that way.
No, but we're grateful that he came on the show. All right, sure. News and notes coming up. Don't forget about Mo Bay Beignet Company. Great place to go get a wonderful dessert. 2902 Hardy Street, Hattiesburg. And our great friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. They got a beautiful showroom on Highway 98 West. Tell Kevin Mullins that the guys from the Eagle Hour said hello. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They're on Hardy Street. Great, great facility, by the way. State of the art. Luke Reynolds runs it. Great place to take children and adults for baseball, softball training. It can make you be the very best that you can be. Really appreciate everything that our good buddies at DBAT do. All right, Kelly, I want to tell you this. Wednesday, I went out to baseball practice. We're going to be bringing you some good stuff from Ozzie Pratt, J.B. Middleton, and Colby Allen tomorrow and the next day. But I was kind of over there by the weight room, and they were sending the guys over to talk to me, and so I got to visit with those kids. So Saturday, my wife and I go to the scrimmage, and I said, let's go sit right down behind home plate, because Kelly's been telling me that he's been running into these guys at some of his trivia and stuff in restaurants, and he keeps telling me how big they are, how physically big they are. I want to sit right behind home plate where I can see it. Holy moly.
Was I right?
Man, we have got some big, strong kids on this baseball. The weight coach, kudos to you, my man, because these boys look like they're ready to rumble.
Well, Coach Makovica, the strength coach for baseball, is one of my neighbors. And I told him, I said, Coach Mack, if an elderly guy like me maybe wanted to get, you know, back in the gym just to tone for health reasons or whatever, could you develop a plan for me? And he said, oh, I got you. He looked at my stomach. He said, looks like you got the eating part down. He said, I'll put you something together for weight training. But yesterday at church, I was a door greeter, and Carson Pato and Davis Gillespie came walking in.
They're two I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, well, and the young woman that was a greeter there with me, after those two guys went into church, she said, are those Southern Miss football players? And I said, you got the Southern Miss right, but I said, those aren't football players. Those are baseball players.
It's hard to believe.
And she said, my word. I said, yeah.
It's hard to believe.
And again, a lot of the difference between the Division I players and some of the good JUCO players is just size and strength. You know, a lot of them have the same skill sets.
Right.
It's just,
you know, last year I was at a couple of William Carey games when they were getting ready to, you know, play into the World Series. And I noticed that's what the first thing that noticed me. Very talented kids out there playing both schools.
Right. So,
can play baseball. Don't misunderstand me at all, but probably just not as physically big as what you see at the Division I level.
Yeah, and it's all relative. You know, now please understand, I'm not saying that every junior college kid, you know, can play D1 baseball, but I'm just saying skill sets are similar. It's just a lot of the D1 guys are just bigger and stronger, hit it a little bit farther, throw it a little bit farther.
Right.
But as far as knowing what to do and how to do it, you know, that's about
one of the interviews, and it turned out to be way, way the longest, was with Ozzie Pratt. He's a heck of a kid to interview, and you're gonna want to hear what Ozzie said about playing here, but you're also gonna want to hear the latest Ozzie had to say about Oxford, his hometown.
Oh, I look forward to that.
That's coming up this week, and Ozzie had something quite entertaining to say.
Real quick in news and notes, Bob, salute to the Southern Miss women's tennis team, who advances to 2-0 on the year with a 5-1 win this weekend over Tennessee Chattanooga. That was played at the Tennessee Complex here in Hattiesburg. The men dropped, unfortunately, to 0-4. They lost in the duel to Samford 3-2. And a salute to our favorite Jamaican, Zane Palomino, the high jumper who was on our show here this past week. Zane went to Birmingham this weekend and won the whole thing. Fifth in the country now, Zane Palomino, the senior from Jamaica in the Southern Miss track and field team. And they'll have a lot of those events in the Birmingham area, so they're never, you know, too far away. But if you get a chance to take in some of the track and field action, you certainly want to do that. But congratulations to Zane.
He was impressive, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was a very impressive
player. I have not yet not been impressed with any of the athletes that we've interviewed on this show.
Oh, you're right about that.
They've been great.
No, you're right about that. And they're humble kids, too. That's something that always sticks out to me. They're really humble kids.
And really, what they're being asked to do, and I get the NIL stuff, I get it, but they still have to be at practice. They have to maintain... They have to go to class. They have to do their homework. They have to eat right. They have to exercise. They have to sleep. Everything about what they have to do is discipline.
Right.
And in a world where, let's face it, we're not all very disciplined, it's good to see some of these athletes do so. And softball opening the season this coming weekend, Bob. Your paper chain is practically non-existent anymore as the countdown continues toward opening day.
Got great shows coming for you all week. Got a really big guest lined up Friday. Todd Monken scheduled to be on the show. Now, subject to change, obviously, if the Ravens are doing something. But Kelly reached out to him. He's always so receptive to us. And that'll be great. We look forward to having Coach Monk. What a character and what a figure he's become in the National Football League, Kelly.
And he loves his time at Southern Miss. You know, I dare say there would be a lot of people that he wouldn't have time for. But he's always ready. If he's got time, he's always ready to come on the show.
Thanks to Coach Huff for coming on board today. Really enjoyed our initial conversation with him. Hope we have him on a lot as we get closer to football season. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free. I go through the revolution.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.